That happens, folks. Amen. And my wife and I, we just happened to walk in into the blessings of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we do appreciate, everything that every single one of you sacrifice for. Amen. Glory to God. So with that, open up your Bibles to the book of John. Like I said, Pastor, he was already, I was like, Pastor, just cut it because you're already walking into my sermon. Glory to God. Or we're just, going to rehash. I'm just going to preach part. I can just say it's part two. Glory. Amen. Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever asked yourself, why do things happen? See, no one here tonight will be immune from a tragedy happening at one point in our lives. There are families, there are people here in our church, or even people that will know that have experienced some type of heart-wrenching tragedy in their lives. Many a times after you and I go through or people that we know, when we go through a tragedy, we begin to ask things like, why? How come? There's many other questions that you and I begin to ask. Because people know that you are a Christian, many people will come and they will ask you why. You know, I was asked a question one time, and this guy, he knew that I was a Christian, and he asked me this. He said, he never called me pastor, but that day he called me pastor. Spanish guy, Mexican guy. He said, why is it that some boys, they want to become girls, and some girls want to become boys? And then I just gave him a simple answer. I said, does God make mistakes? I made him answer. I said, does God make a mistake? He said, no. I said, then the answer is that God does not make mistakes. God is perfect. So when people want to do that, it's because of their choice. They have chosen. Listen, can I tell you, you and I, we make the same choices. God is a perfect God. God is a perfect. He does not make mistakes. So why does God let it happen? See, you ask yourself, how am I supposed to respond when these tragedies happen in our lives? The book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Now Jesus passed by. He saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we ask you tonight, God, help us. Help us, God, to be able to process why. Let us not, God, be confused. God, we need you to help us tonight. God, we do not know the answers, but we know that you know all things. We ask you tonight to help us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So here is Jesus gives the answer. Jesus and his disciples, they're leaving the temples. When the Jews, they threaten to stone Jesus. As they leave the temple area, they walk by this blind man. The blind man, he was blind all his life. Here is a man who had no control on the condition of what he was born to. He was born blind. Too many people to this, it seems like an injustice. To be born blind, to have your whole life determined before your birth. He had to say, he had no say, he had no input, he had no opportunity. He just came into the world without the ability, folks, to be able to see. The disciples, they see this man and they consider his condition. They ask the question, why? Have we ever asked why? After asking the question, they make an assumption. Can I tell you, every single one of us think that we can assume what happened. They make the assumption, surely sin must have been involved in the outcome of this man. They say that either this man or his family had to be guilty of a sin for such a tragedy, folks, to have occurred. So how, amen, can you and I relate to this today? When we see something around us that might seem to be a tragic, listen, it seems like more and more tragic things are happening. How many know that? We start thinking in our minds that there has to be some type of explanation. We start searching for reasons of why. We think and start saying, was it something that I did? We make statements like, if only I had done this, if only I had done that. We try to find someone or something to place the blame on. This is why this happened. And sometimes, folks, we even put the blame on God. If God, we make statements like, if God is God, then he is the one to blame. Jesus here in our text, Jesus said that neither this man nor his parents had sinned. Jesus is not saying that people do not sin, for the Bible says, amen, in Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What Jesus is saying that neither this man nor his parents, amen, caused this man to be born in these conditions. See, there is sin, there is tragedy, there is death in the world. All because of one thing, the fallen nature of man. When man sinned, it caused a perfect environment there in the Garden of Eden to now be imperfect. And because of sin, it caused all kinds of different things to be brought into a condition where it should not have been that way. See, the reason for this man's condition was neither sin nor his parents. It was a tragedy that would provide God, listen to me, it was a tragedy that would provide God the opportunity to bring himself to be known. Whatever the reason for this man's tragedy, God was about to use it for his glory. God changes hard circumstances and brings it for his good. See, the result of this man's blindness, is that people saw Jesus as one thing, as the Son of God. Who knows what the result of people's tragedies, will be in other people's lives. How many times have you and I, we've seen people come out, come to the Lord because of some type of tragedy that has occurred. We see the tragedy, this man that was assassinated. Can I tell you, it brought an awakening, it brought a great, revival, where even now people are beginning to talk about Christ where they once were not. See, to you and I, it might seem as a tragedy. How could this man be assassinated? How could this man go through this? He was a family man. He was a father. He had a wife. But yet, in the midst of all this, God is using a situation to bring people to the knowledge where now people are talking, folks, about God. Tragedies provide God the opportunity to reveal himself. Why do these tragedies happen in our lives and in the lives of honors? To be honest, tonight, this evening, the why may never be answered on this side of heaven. We might not ever know why. The question to the why, in the eyes of Jesus as he was addressing it, was not the relevant question. What happened had happened, and nothing to that point can change it. The result of this man's blindness is that people saw Jesus. Who knows, what the result of people's tragedies will be, in other people's lives, You and I can see people come, listen to me, and I'll say it again, people come because of different situations. I did two funerals there in Garland. In one, I was able to minister to about 100 and something people simply because of a tragedy, a death. 8 people surrendered their lives to Christ. Here it is, another situation. This man, if my wife can tell you, when this man came to church, he said, "I want nothing to do with you." But a stroke caused this man. And during this stroke, him and I became very close. And I got a chance to pray with him. And I prayed with him. He came to church. I would go and have breakfast with this man. And this man who before said, "Pastor, leave me alone. Don't talk to me." I would come and his name is Mr. Benny. "Mr. Benny, how you doing? Get away from me." Listen, it was not a subtle response. It was, "Leave me alone. I don't want you by me." But in the midst of this stroke, in the midst of this tragedy, it allowed him to be, to have his heart softened, that now, hallelujah, the love of Christ was poured out. And because it was poured out, this man came and, hallelujah, I was able to do a memorial service for him, And this man surrendered his life, where before he said, "Get away from me. I don't want you to talk to me. Leave me alone." See, God brings people that during their tragedies, he brings people that would normally not come, but because of this condition, it was used for God's glory. See, I don't have the answer to why. If you know the answer to why, let me know, because I want to know also. Amen. But can I tell you one thing that I do know? Is that God uses circumstances for his good. In the book of Acts, chapter 12, 1 through 5, it says, about that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, the brother of John, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. In verse 4, then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for a public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, listen how the church reacted, folks. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. See, this took place several years after Jesus ascended into heaven. The church had faced several adversaries, but it still continued growing and it flourished. Because of that, King Herod decided, let me bring a squash to the movement. Can I tell you, the devil is always trying to squash, the move of God. But the church continued to grow. So he arrested the apostle James and ultimately had him executed. James was one of Jesus' inner circle. He was one of the three main leaders, the early church. This young and struggling church, listen to me, had lost a leader. The intent was, if I kill a leader, then it's going to stop the movement. To make it worse, Peter now was in prison and he was next to be killed. He killed James and Peter was next. He was hoping that this would stop the momentum. The death of James seemed as a senseless thing to do. The arrest of Peter made everything worse. The church at that moment, listen, how many know that the church at that moment could have folded? What's the use? Which one of us is going to be next? We're pointing at the leader, you next. Amen? Listen, be honest. You're next. They could have just given up on God, but they did not. Verse 5 tells us that they were in constant prayer. Listen, when the enemy comes, we need to pray. When the enemy attacks, instead of folding, you and I need to get on our knees and pray. Verse 12 tells you and I that they gathered together. Listen, they gathered together to pray. This is how a church is supposed to react in the midst of a tragedy. They were together. They were not split in many different facets. They came and they stayed together. Tragedies did not divide them, but it brought them closer together. The Apostle John, who had lost a brother in a tragic, senseless execution, was surrounded by his brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to me, folks. When we are in a tragedy, when one of us here is going through a very hard time, the best thing that you and I can do is to be there for them. Because we need, listen to me, folks, we need one another. That's the way that you and I are going to be able to, get through the tragedies of life. His brothers and sisters surrounded him. You and I tonight, we need one another. We need one another. Tragedies can either divide or they can bring you and I together. In times of tragedies, those that are affected by them need love and support from their brothers and sisters that will be there for them. Amen. You and I tonight, we need to be surrounded by those affected. Amen. Because we need to show each other the love of Christ. In times of tragedy, they did the only thing that they knew to do. Can I tell you? The only thing, it disturbs me, folks. Listen, I get disturbed. Some things just blow my mind. When people say, we don't need thoughts and prayers. We need different actions. Can I tell you, you can't do nothing for yourself. You and I cannot do nothing to change the fact, but we know somebody that can. And that's why when you and I pray out to God, God now intervenes, hallelujah. And when God intervenes, he makes things move, amen, so that God can come in and show himself out. See, they knew that whatever had happened or would happen is out of their control. Can I tell you, some things are out of our control, folks. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I didn't say to myself, self, I want you to have cancer. Amen? But I had cancer. When my mother died of dementia, she didn't ask for this, but it happened. When my sister passed away a few months ago, this is the tragedy, but can I tell you what happened? I was able in both instances. I prayed and I asked God. Listen to how God is, folks. I prayed and asked God. I was supposed to leave Christmas Day of this year. My sister calls me and she tells me, if you want to come and see your mother, you better come now. Or else you're not going to see her alive. So what I did is I changed the flight. And the whole time I was crying out to God. And I was praying. I was saying, God, just give me the opportunity to talk to my mother while she is still alive. Guess what God did? He allowed me 2 hours. Ooh. Oh, God. God allowed me 2 hours to be able to stand there as I'm talking to my mom. Everybody else is there. I'm talking to my mom and I'm telling her, Mom, amen, you're going to be okay. Mom, she's moving and she's still awake for 2 hours. I asked God this thing. I said, God, just give me the ability and opportunity to talk. And can I tell you, not only did my mother, amen, hallelujah, receive Christ, but everybody else heard the gospel message. Same thing for my sister. During the time my brother calls me, I've already mentioned this, but my brother calls me and he puts me on FaceTime. Everybody, he puts me loud and clear. Listen, I got a loud voice to begin with. So he puts me loud and clear. He says, you're on speaker. So I said, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I was able to pray for my sister. And not only did my sister receive Christ, but everybody else heard that same message. Who knows how many of them said, this is the only thing I can do is cry out to God. I will not know on this side of heaven, but can I tell you, God knows. God knows exactly how many decisions, because when I told my sister, I want you to repeat this after me, he had me on speaker, beloved, amen, and every single one of my nephews and nieces that were there, my brother-in-law, and everybody else that was there, they heard the gospel message, and who knows how many of them accepted Christ. They went to the one, folks, who could intervene in their behalf. You and I, we need to do one thing tonight. We need to pray ourselves through the tragedies. By you and I staying together, what they did is they showed their faith in the one that brought them together. Can I tell you tonight, amen, it was God that brought every single one of us together. God did. God allowed for you and I, amen, to come and bring forth and know that when you and I are going through a hardship in our lives where you and I cannot, amen, God can make those things possible. He can. Through their prayers, God would hear and answer them. Can I tell you? The Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer. See, God is there for you and I. When you go through a tragedy, just like Pastor said this morning, who do you go through? When your mother can't help you. When your father can't help you. When your best friends cannot help you. Who do you and I go through? Can I tell you, we can go through the one that can help you and I. The book of Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Can I tell you, beloved, when you and I do not know the answer, God does. God does. When you and I do not know the why, God does. We don't know why tragedy is happening, why tragedies happened, and we will never possibly know why. God is not there, amen, saying, oh, I wish that you... No, he doesn't. But he knows that things are going to happen. But he uses those tragedies that you and I go through, folks, for good. For good. For good. Even in the midst of a terrible tragedy, they never lost their hope, their faith, their belief in God. Tragedies are not meant to separate us from God. Even though you and I might not know why, you and I tonight can trust that God is in control. going to give everybody the opportunity. Turn to Romans 8, 28. Turn your Bibles. Who knows this verse by heart? Who knows this verse? It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. If you got your e-Bible, flip it. Flip it to there. We can all read it together. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. God works all things for good, folks. See, as you and I tonight, as believers in Jesus Christ, you and I can have faith that God will cause something good in the midst of a horrible tragedy. Do we know the answers to why? We will never possibly know why. But God knows the reasons why. And I trust God. I trust God that why God did it, he only knows. I do not know the why. I do not know the how. I do not know the outcome. But God causes all things for good to those that are called according to his purpose. You might be going through a tragedy and you're asking yourself, why? This is not a default answer, but God knows the reason why. And sometimes he lets us know, sometimes he doesn't. Does that take anything from who God is? No. He uses sometimes circumstances, tragedies, trials, persecutions, different things to bring you and I to a greater realization that he is God. He is God. And I believe everything that the Word of God says from G to R. From G to R. From Genesis to Revelation. Amen. This doesn't seem right. Listen, I cannot. His thoughts, the Word of God says, are higher than my thoughts. I cannot understand how God in one day created everything we have. I can't think of how God did everything, how he made you and I different, but yet we're the same. Amen? I was born in Mexico. Some were born here in the United States. Some were born in the Virgin Islands. Some were born in Trinidad. Some went to Canada, some went, but yet we're the same. We're in one makeup, folks. We have the same DNA, the line of God, that God wants you and I to trust in him. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. Jesus, you're here tonight. You're not saved. You're here tonight. You're not right with God. But you want to, tonight, you want to make a decision. Tonight, you want to give your life to Christ. It would be our pleasure, not my pleasure, our pleasure to be able to pray for you. You're here tonight. You're here. Would you surrender your life to Jesus? Pastor, I'm not saved. I've never surrendered my life. Maybe you're backslidden in this place. You want to make a decision tonight. You want to make a decision. Would you surrender your life tonight? You're backslidden. You're not right with God. But you want to make a decision tonight. God, I only know one thing, that you are God and I am not. You want to give your life to Jesus tonight, folks. Would you lift up your hand? Would you surrender tonight? Would you give Jesus an opportunity in your life? You're backslidden. You're away from God. Amen. Church, let me speak to you tonight. Maybe that's you tonight. You're going through a very difficult moment in your life. And that's you. You are saying, why? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents, but it's so that God can be glorified. See, your circumstances might bring you to a higher revelation of God. Your circumstances might bring you to a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. What the church did, Herod came and he brought forth these things to happen in the book of Acts chapter 12. What this did was it caused the church to be united and prayed. A church that prays together stays together. What you do when tragedies come will affect you either more. Listen, we don't make light of any circumstance because they are all a grieving moment, hardship time. But what you do truly does matter, folks. The church, they saw these things happened and they cried out to God. It caused them to unite. It caused them to meet each other's needs. It caused them to come and be in one mind and one accord. See, maybe you are going through a hardship or a hard time tonight. Could we cry out to God together? Could we believe God together and say, God, you are the only one that can get me through this. I need to cry out to you. The altar is open tonight. Come, lay hold of God. Let God tonight help you. Let Jesus tonight get you through it. You're going through a very difficult moment in your life. And things might be out of your control. They are not out of the control of our Lord. God can bring forth and in an instant of time, God can make things move. You and I are not immune. I wish that we could. Pastor preached this morning going to the other side. There might be people on why you and I are going through this that will come to know Jesus because of the circumstances that you are going through. Circumstances are horrific, but they're God's. They are God's opportunities to touch people's lives. I came to know God out of a circumstance. My wife and I were on the verge of divorce. She came to Christ. We were not divorced, but our marriage was over. It was in a very difficult time. And in the midst of that, God brought my wife to know Jesus. You know, people will never know what my wife and I have gone through in these last 26 years. Can I tell you one thing? Without the Lord in our lives. Andrea, where do you work at? That's where I would find myself at. Literally, listen, because I would have lost my mind. I would have lost my mind. Because I couldn't, in my own self, I cannot process how these things happen to us. But as we trust in God, God has allowed us to be able to get through. And it is by the grace of God tonight, folks, that my wife and I are not in a very difficult situation. The grace of God. We don't know why. We can't answer those questions for you. I wish we could. I wish we can talk to ChatGPT AI and ask them and say, why? Right? I wish that we could. But we cannot. But we can go through, we can go to the one, folks, that has every answer known to man. You and I can go to him. Cry ourselves, pour ourselves, and say, God, comfort me. Comfort me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, falls upon us. Falls upon us. We don't know how we can manage. I've heard things like, how did you manage to get through that? I don't have that answer, but God supplied me with the strength. God supplied us. He will supply. Just like he supplied us, he will supply you with the necessary strength to make it through what you are going through. Hold on. Don't let the tragedies separate you. But let those things draw you closer to the one that knows all things.
Let Jesus help you tonight. Amen. Nixon, would you close us in prayer tonight if you can?